fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. I want to continue today to talk about chapter 5 from 1 John, St. John's letter, his first of three letters. And if you had a chance to tune in the program yesterday, I was talking about the importance of faith and being able to receive all that God has promised us, all that God has given to us in Jesus Christ, which is beyond our wildest imagining. I think with the busyness of life and the multitude of distractions that exist in most people's lives today, we can miss the basic fundamental truths of what faith has given us. The gift of faith that comes to us from God, that makes it possible for us to grasp, to receive, to trust, and to abandon ourselves to the revelation that God gives to us in Jesus Christ. Of course, Jesus reveals to us who God is, God the Father. In seeing Jesus, we see the Father, Jesus tells us. So we know who God is. We know who the Creator is, what He's like, and His plan, His purpose. Jesus reveals to us the truth about who we are, what it means to be human. What does a fulfilled human life look like? What are we called to be, and how are we called to live? But then He also reveals to us, in the opposition He experiences, ultimately in His horrific death on the cross, He reveals to us the truth about the human heart, which I've spoken about many times on the program. But as I said, at 1 John chapter 5, because He touches on the importance of faith. He put it this way, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. How are we born again? John tells us, I mentioned yesterday, through water and the Spirit. In baptism, we're united to the death of Jesus Christ and to His resurrection. That literally, the old man in us, what is that? It's the person we were born into the world to be, right? We're born into a fallen world. We're fallen creatures. And the scriptures are clear. The apostles' teachers were under sin. Our lives are sin-sick. We're death-directed as a result of the power of sin. And Jesus needs to destroy that power in us. He puts death to death. And so the destiny Peter Herbeck was destined for, and my being born into sin, being a slave to sin, conniving with sin in my life, that I was headed for God's judgment against sin. I was clinging, I was united to sin, and I was about to experience in my life sin's destiny, which is ultimately God's judgment. We see it on the cross of Jesus Christ. As I mentioned yesterday, in baptism, we're united to that act by which we were saved, the loving act of Jesus Christ on the cross, when He opens His arms for us, and He's nailed to a cross, and He sheds His blood for the salvation of the world, for your salvation and mine. And faith is a capacity given to us by God to be able to see and to grasp what Christ has done for us, to understand the truth about who I am, the reality of my sin and my need for salvation, and the great gift of God's love that literally plunges me into the saving work of Jesus Christ in baptism and raises me to become a new creation, that I'm literally born again. I'm born of God. God becomes my Father. Such a precious gift. It's mind-blowing. Chapter 5, verse 2 goes on, by this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey His commandments. And so Jesus pours His love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, giving us a new power and a new capacity to fulfill the great commandment to love God and neighbor. Jesus gives us His love. He did all that. He loved the Father with all His heart, soul, mind, and strength, and He loved every single one of us. He's the one that fulfilled the Father's plan and purpose for the human race, which is called the second Adam, right? Where Adam failed, Jesus stands. But John goes on to talk about faith. He says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Keep the commandments. I've just noticed, I'm reading a lot of the lives of the saints lately, and it's amazing how often they talk about it. It's not legalism. It's not a kind of preoccupation with legalism. It is the recognition of what love is. We were made to be in relationship with God, to walk with Him, and He made us and we're called to obey Him. Now, the modern world hates that. Well, the human heart has always resisted it. We've suppressed that. Romans 1 is so clear. You know, we suppress the truth about God. We suppress what we owe God. That the truth about God is that God is. And God is the creator of all, and he's almighty, and we literally belong to him. And we owe him our gratitude, our thanksgiving, and to honor him and to obey him. But St. Paul tells us the human heart always seeks to suppress the truth about God because we don't want to have to submit. The truth about God is available to us, but we don't want the claim it would make on our lives. We oppose the truth because it demands submission from us. And what does submission look like? Scripture is so clear. Honor God and give him thanks. How do you honor God? You love him. You obey his commands. He's not your adversary. He's your father. And that's why John can say, these commandments aren't burdensome. They aren't burdensome now because there's something new that's alive in John's life. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. He's not just drudging along with a kind of legalistic burden. His heart is alive in Christ and the power of the Spirit, and he understands the commandments are the way of love. Verse 4, he says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Whatever is born of God. If you've been baptized into Christ, you've been born of God. You've overcome the world. What is it? The world is that dimension of the created order that resists God, that says no to God. It's a power. World, flesh, devil. These are the three great powers that the human race battles against. And the world is constantly leading us to suppress the truth about God, to create an existence where he's not a part of it, to exile God from the human horizon. And we live under that domination, under that burden of the world. But the world is headed for judgment. And John makes it clear to us, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. If you're born again by water and the Spirit, if you've received the Spirit of Jesus Christ in your baptism, which if you were baptized, you did. And if you're walking in fellowship, in the church that you were born into, in baptism in Christ, right? And you receive the sacraments that he's given to us. The Eucharist, where he feeds us. Confession, where he forgives us of our sins. Hearing the word of God. Living with his people. That's a new existence. That's an existence apart from the radical domination of the world. We don't have to genuflect to the world anymore. We don't have to value what the world values, money, sex, power, all the craziness of the world, its obsession for the things the world is serving up in the hope of filling the hole that's in every human heart, a hole that can only be filled, as the saints remind us, by God. We're made for God. But because there's something in us that doesn't want to honor God, we want to be honored. We want to win the honor of the world. We want everybody to see how wonderful we are. Look at me. Me, me, me. A disciple, something so profound happens in the heart of a disciple. Literally, as Jesus said, deny yourself, began the week with that theme. There's something about me that dies that's so healthy. And it's not about me, it's about him now. It's about God and the beauty and the wonder of God and the gift of being united to God. And faith lets me see God. It's a way of seeing and a way of knowing, and it's a way of living. And so we have victory over the world. The world does not have a claim on us any longer. I don't have to be a slave to the world. The powers of sin and death that dominate the world, the empty futility of a darkened mind that insists on finding fulfillment in things that only ultimately destroy us. I don't need fame. I don't need fortune. The saints are telling us, John says, I already have what my heart longs for. I know God. And God is with me and God dwells in my heart. He's made me a temple. He's dignified me beyond what any material thing in this world could ever give me. I'm so grateful. Father, I honor you and I give you thanks. I honor you and give you thanks for your Son, Jesus. I honor you and give you thanks for the Holy Spirit. I honor you and give you thanks for Our Lady, for the saints, for the angels, for the wonder of your beautiful creation. I give you thanks. Again, John says, 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. It overcomes the world. Faith has power to overcome the world because it's faith and the gift of faith that leads to salvation. Who is it that overcomes the world, John asks, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. What he's talking about is not just an idea. To believe that Jesus is the Son of God is to say that I've bent my knee, I've knelt before the Son of God, and I acknowledge Jesus as God's only Son, the Savior of the world, the author of life, the faithful witness, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the Almighty, the judge of the living and the dead, King of kings and Lord of lords. That's faith. And it's an absolute surrender to him. It's putting everything about me at his feet, my time, my talent, my treasure, my dreams, everything. Jesus, you're the pearl of great price. I sell everything. I sell all of my big dreams and all my insistence on hanging on to this world, all the fame and the fortune and the power that I delight in. Lord, I'm going to just put it at your feet because my heart's already full. It's filled with the knowledge of you, the pearl of great price, the longing of my heart, the precious Son of God. Friends, that's it. That's the gift. That's the victory that overcomes the world. Faith unites us to the King who has subdued all the powers of the world and the flesh and the devil. And he's living now, existence beyond death in the new creation. And he's clothed in glory. And the whole world is in the palm of his hands. All of creation belongs to him. And he exists now in unapproachable light and absolute glory. And he has power to share that eternal life, his victory, with whomever he chooses. And he wants to share it with every human being on the face of the earth. And he offers it freely. The question is, have we said yes? Have we said yes? Have we got on our knees and said, Jesus, come into my heart. Lead me to the waters of baptism. Lead me to your church and to your people. Lead me to that body of people in the world that lives for you and worships you and loves you. That's what I want to do. Friends, that's the faith that overcomes the world. God bless you. Walk in it for his glory. Have a great weekend.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Use Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.